The Celtics own the Heat. The Magic beat a team with a winning record for the first time in a long time. And Lady Gaga shows up to the Grammys in an egg. And, you know, I had to fight Gregor Mantle over here not to talk about Lady Gaga showing up in an egg, but you insisted.
Yes, well, I mean, that's how I arrived to my prom as a senior in high school.
And she stole it from
me. She stole the idea from me. How dare she? So I'm calling her out.
Well, we welcome you to the CBSSports.com basketball podcast. Lady Gaga, if you're watching or listening, welcome to the show. Adam Azer, Gregor Mantle here. We've got Ben Golliver on the phone to answer five questions, starting five. Five questions for our CBSSports.com basketball blogger. There are a lot of things to talk about, but before we do that, you know, today is Monday, February 14th. It's a special day. It's Valentine's Day, and I'm happy to share it with you, Greg, and I got you a little present.
Did you really?
Yeah, so I want you to look at the screen really quickly here.
Oh, yeah.
I got you a Valentine's Day card.
Happy Valentine's Day, and this is Zach Randolph back in the Portland days.
This is one of the weirdest things I've seen. This is a Valentine's Day card with Zach Randolph in a Blazers jersey with three hearts. And he's holding flowers, but they're not a bouquet. They're like in a flower pot.
Yeah. This is real.
That's what
you
I found online.
Found that online.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
We didn't Photoshop it or anything.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that. Although I like chocolate, so.
Yeah. Sorry.
Kind of slacking, but I'll take it.
All right, Zach. Next time, chocolates. All right, Ben. We're going to welcome you in now. Ben, thanks for joining us. First question for you. What is the most underrated team in basketball?
You know, I think one team that continues to fly under the radar, even though they continue to jump up the standings, has got to be the Chicago Bulls. I mean, they've been playing great basketball. Derrick Rose, you know, send Jerry Sloan into retirement with that steal on Darren Williams. And they go and beat New Orleans Hornets. I mean, they have quality win after quality win. They're getting Noah back here. I look at that, they have the best defense in the NBA, either first or second, by whatever metric you use. I think they're a really, really good team. They're going to make a strong and deep playoff push. I think they're a better team, frankly, than Miami Heat.
I'm very glad I didn't also pick the Chicago Bulls because I thought, you know, of the teams in the Eastern Conference, because really in the Western Conference, I feel like they kind of fit in where we thought. But for me, it's the Orlando Magic. I chose them over the Bulls. And really, because they can look so bad when the supporting cast struggles, I think people sometimes look at some of these horrible games and think they are that bad. But really, it also, when you see them shoot the ball well, it's amazing how good they can be. So a little bit underrated to me, because when they talk about title in the Eastern Conference teams, you know, the teams that come up are Boston and Miami. I feel Orlando is right up there. It's just they don't play as consistently as those other two teams.
Sure. Well, it's the teams that are chasing Orlando and Miami that are underrated. I'm actually going to go with the Spurs, believe it or not, because I don't truly believe that enough people think the Spurs can win the NBA championship, despite the fact that they have the best record in basketball. I still think it's the Lakers, the Celtics, the Heat, and, you know, that's probably it that I'm hearing so
far. Most people expect the Lakers still to win the Western Conference, it seems that way.
Yeah, so that's the most underrated team. What's the most overrated team, Ben?
You know, I hate to say it because they've been one of the best stories of the year, but I think it's the New York Knicks. You know, I think they got off to a really nice big push there. They got a lot of momentum off of Amari Stoudemire's, you know, incredible couple months, and then now they've kind of flattened back out. They're near 500. They don't have a big man. They got questions on defense. I mean, they have 20th defense in the league. And I'm not sure if they're built to win right now like their fans would hope. So I would say New York Knicks.
I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
The Knicks just aren't very good right now. They're basically a 500 ball club. They had a hot stretch, and if you take away that really hot stretch, they've been below 500. I'm going to go with the Miami Heat. I still think very highly of the Miami Heat, but I'm wondering about their fourth quarter execution. I've seen them recently with a few games on the line where they just haven't played very well, and they haven't quite figured that out yet. I'm hoping they get to the point where they can beat teams down the stretch, but Boston is going to out-execute them, it seems like, every time.
Yep.
We're going to talk about the game later, but I'm going to go with the Heat.
And especially in a three-point game, if you've noticed, Eddie House and Mike Miller have taken the last two big shots for them in games that were very close. Not what you want when you're paying that amount of money to those big three. For me, the overrated team is actually Oklahoma City. And the reason for this is after taking the Lakers last year to seven games, we thought, okay, this is the year that they can compete for a title, and they're still a middle-of-the-road team. The fact of the matter is when you allow 102.5 points per game, 21st in the league, you can't win a ring. And only two other teams currently in line to make the playoffs allow more points per game. That's the Nuggets and the Knicks, two teams we know that aren't going to win a title. So really, Oklahoma City needs to be better defensively before they take that next step, which most people thought they would.
That's a good call. Question number three, does the resignation of Jerry Sloan make you think any differently about Darren Williams? And before we go to Greg here for the answer, let's go to Darren Williams for a little soundbite.
We like I said, we had an argument. Had him before. Am I the reason Coach resigned? I highly doubt that. You know, I never once did I say it's me or him. That never happened. I haven't even had a meeting with any of our management this year so far. So where all this stuff is coming from, I have no clue. You know, I would be interested to see who the sources, I think that's what they call them, the sources are. You know, when I see one stand up in front of a camera or, you know, say who they are, you know, then I'd be interested to talk about it. But, you know, it's not a funny situation at all because, like I said, we lost our coach. But, you know, I think it's funny all the stuff that's out there, and, you know, I can't control that, or do I care?
That might be the most I've seen Darren Williams smile. He did not seem beat up about that at all.
No, and you know, you really have to wonder now. I don't know the 100% truth of this. Obviously, Darren Williams has his comments, and then we've heard the rumors about basically there being the argument and really Jerry Sloan saying, I'm done, and that being audibly heard by many of the players. It definitely does change the way I look at Darren Williams. I'm not sure, obviously, who he is off the court. You know who you think he is on the court, but this does change the way I look at him. Certainly in not being able to fit underneath the Jerry Sloan regimen, which really for a lot of point guards prior to him and for a guy named John Stockton was pretty good. So I'm not exactly sure where he's going to go from here, but it seems like his days in Utah might also be numbered, even though Jerry Sloan's moved on.
It's been pretty good for him, too. Ben, what do you think?
You know, I do think I changed my opinion of Darren Williams just a little bit. You know, I thought a lot of the blaming and the sort of the scapegoating of Darren Williams right off the bat when the news first broke was a little bit too much. You know, I think there's always going to be a series of events rather than just sort of one fight that's going to make someone like Jerry Sloan abandon his career after 23 years. But, you know, Darren Williams, the way he handled it afterwards, you know, it wasn't as much, you know, respect due to Jerry Sloan like I was expecting to hear. You know, he sounded a little bit surprised. He didn't really sound upset or beat up about it. You know, if that's your coach, that's the only coach you've known in the NBA, you're the franchise point guard, you know, you look around like some other places in the NBA, you think the superstar player would react a little bit differently if their coach, the only coach they had known, was out the door. So it did make me think that maybe D. Will has his own agenda more than I thought previously.
Yeah, he certainly did not seem very upset about this. Ben, which coach should be fired next? Which one's the next to go?
You know, I think there's a couple candidates. I don't really like to wish, firings on anyone, but you look in Toronto, Jay Chiarano's got to be a good candidate.
That's my guy. That guy's got to go.
Wow.
Go for it, Ben.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's the same problem every year, right? They don't play defense. They're not very well constructed. They've got Bargnani, who's just a one-dimensional player, and they've got nobody really around him besides, you know, some talented wing players that are too young to really be productive. You know, another one I'd say is Flip Saunders in Washington. I don't think they had huge expectations there, but I'm not sure if he's the right personality fit. And they still have a bunch of knuckleheads they need to kind of get out before any coach can really turn that thing around. You know, another one we don't really talk about that often, though, you know, because he got a contract extension this fall, though, Scott Skiles in Milwaukee, I mean, they've been way below expectations. They've had a lot of injuries, obviously, but if I'm their management, I'm looking around like, hey, we were supposed to be a lot better than we are right now. Right now, they're 20-33, if you can believe that.
Yeah, well, Toronto's 15-40. They're awful. Yeah. Jay Chiarano should be gone. What do you think?
Valentine's Day. You're going to want to take someone's job on Valentine's Day.
I don't think he should be fired today. Well, no, he shouldn't be fired today.
To give love. If anyone, I'm going to agree with Ben, with Flip Saunders out in Washington. Mike Brown, I think, would be a much better fit for a young Washington team. He's sitting there. He's ready to get to take a job. I would assume at the end of the year they'll probably do something with Flip Saunders, and hopefully it's not after Mike Brown finds another job, but I feel he would be a very good fit there. So that's the only one I'd point out. Again, on Valentine's Day we shouldn't be talking about people losing their jobs, but that would be mine.
Let's talk about DeMarcus Cousins on Valentine's Day, if that's all right with you.
That is.
DeMarcus Cousins inactive on Sunday because reportedly he was very upset about not getting the ball on a final possession against the Thunder earlier in the week, and you just start to wonder. You see the potential. He's so good. He can be very, very productive. But is he closer, and I'll ask you first, Ben, is he closer to becoming a bust because of his attitude or a star because of his skills?
You know, it's funny that you guys are talking about Zach Randolph with that Valentine's Day card earlier, because that's the name that kind of keeps coming up to me when I think about DeMarcus Cousins. I think he's going to be a guy who's going to be a very, you know, big numbers player. He's going to be able to rebound, you know, anywhere he goes in any system. He's going to be able to score around the basket. I think he's already starting to prove that. The big question is going to be is can he stay consistent mentally? Can he put it together? Can he make his teammates better? Can he bring it 82 nights a year? And we're already seeing, you know, big questions here in his rookie year. I mean, he already knew these were going to be problems or issues that he needed to address as a person, you know, his maturity, his professionalism. They've been working with him on that for months, and so far he's just failing, you know. I mean, they're basically saying, stay home. We need to put you in timeout so we can talk to you about it, and that's not a good sign going forward. I think he's going to be, you know, problem for whoever his coach is and his team is for years to come.
Zach Randolph is a great call. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Really, a right-handed
Randolph. It took Zach Randolph a long time to finally put the team first, and now he's an all-star caliber player on a team that's actually good. What do you think?
He has the talent. We know that. He can score. He can rebound. You know, he's had now three. Yes, Cousins have three run-ins so far this season already as a rookie, and I guess he expects, as a rookie, to take the final shot in a game. Not sure where he gets this attitude from or where it's happening or you know, if it came out of college like this. But some coach needs to be powerful enough to tell him, you're a rookie, this is how it's going to be. I'm not sure if that coach is in place right now. So it might be a struggle for him early in his career until he finally really finds a team that he can fit into. And again, he plays for a very young team already, so he's trying to establish himself as a leader on that team, unlike if he had been drafted by the Celtics or some other team that already has a veteran leader in place where he could fall into place. He doesn't have that sort of thing right now going on where he's at, so it'll be a while if he does progress into an all-star caliber player.
I think he's closer to being a bust than a star. I just think his attitude's just not good enough, and I don't know if it's ever going to change because we all knew about it going in. He didn't do anything to sort of dispel the rumors.
Very true.
Ben, thanks a lot, man. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, take care, guys.
Take care, Jeff.
I'm not going to wish anybody Happy Valentine's Day anymore. It's just weird.
Probably shouldn't, yeah.
Yeah, especially like another guy.
Yeah. It's a bit odd, so we can move on in our podcast instead.
A bit odd, yeah. Do you have any idea who Arcade Fire is?
Arcade Fire. I do know that they won an award, I believe.
They won Album of the Year.
But I've not heard. I don't think. I probably heard it if you were to play it. I'd say, oh, I know that song, but
I don't think you would.
Off the top of my head, no, probably not.
Yeah, they're not bad. I listened to them this morning because they won Album of the Year.
Yeah, I listened to Howard Stern, not really pop radio, so I'm not going to hear those songs.
No, I mean, I YouTubed them this morning.
Oh, really?
Because I wanted to see who won our Album of the Year.
Was it worth it?
Yeah.
Award worthy. Okay.
Yeah, I liked them.
Good to know.
I don't know if they were Album of the Year good, but anyway, Boston 85, Miami 82. Mike Miller misses a wide open look. Game tying three.
Great pick by Dwayne Wade.
Yes.
Exactly
a lot of good picks
the play
in that game.
That was drawn up by Coach Bolstra. You have to hit that shot.
You do. And Mike Miller was worthless. And my big concern for the Heat, they have so many worthless players on their team. So many guys who are doing absolutely nothing. Dwayne Wade, by the way, is horrible against the Celtics. So far this season, three games against the Celtics. He is averaging 4 of 15 shooting. He's 12 of 45. With 18 turnovers in three games. So he averages 4 of 15 with 6 turnovers.
Wow, so
he's bad. So the other guys have to step up, and they're just not.
Yes, averages more turnovers than made shots. And, of course, against the Boston Celtics, that's not going to help. Even in a game in which Paul Pierce does not hit one of his 10 shots, they still lose.
Yeah.
You can contribute that certainly to not only, like you said, Mike Miller just playing terribly, shooting an air ball from the corner three-pointer, and then Dwayne Wade having struggles, which recently he hasn't struggled at all. So for him to struggle against Boston, there's something there that they need to figure out prior to the playoffs.
I don't know that he should be guarding Ray Allen. I think that might take a lot out of him.
Well, there was really a team effort to guard Ray Allen yesterday. Obviously, it's not Dwayne Wade the whole game, but that does have an effect. Everyone knows if you put more energy on the defensive end, obviously it's going to struggle or help you struggle on the offensive side of the ball, and it certainly did for him, especially late in the game.
What do you think about Rondo picking up guys full court? And Doc Rivers said that wasn't even part of the plan. He said, quote, Rondo just took it upon himself that whoever was bringing the ball up, he was going to guard and harass, and I thought that changed the game for us. And
sure.
I agree. LeBron James taking the ball up the floor and Rajon Rondo just making life miserable for him and taking the heat out of any rhythm, any flow.
And it showed an energy level higher than anyone else on the court. It did show that he was ready to compete harder than anyone else, and he really did a great job. Obviously, he's undersized, and if you look at the video, even Jeff Van Gundy during the game pointed it out, there were a lot of times in which he fouled LeBron James, but because he's so much smaller, the referees don't call it. They don't really consider nagging from a smaller player on a bigger guy a foul. Unfortunately, they are fouls, and we'll see in the playoffs when we know the referees are a little bit tighter with the calls that they make to see if he can still get away with the way that he guarded LeBron.
All right, so big picture, Celtics now 3-0 against the Heat. They're a half game up on the Heat, but they've won the season series. And the Celtics still 5.5 games behind the Spurs in the race for the best record in basketball. But big picture, what does this game tell you about the Heat, and what does it tell you about the Celtics?
It tells me that the Heat are still forming into shape. We still don't know exactly what they are. Obviously, the injury to Udonis Haslem was huge for this team. A glue guy, a hustler, someone who really is what they really are lacking now on that team, and rebounding and toughness in the interior. So when he gets back, or if he gets back for the playoffs, I expect him to have a big contribution in that series. If he's not back, it's going to be very tough, and you're going to need great games from all big three. You cannot have Dwayne Wade play poorly, or they will lose.
I think in general they need to be a little bit more willing to give Chris Bosch the ball down the stretch.
He was great, yes.
Bosch had a great game.
Great.
But did he do anything when it counted?
Not down the stretch, yeah. That elbow jumper was something that he was hitting routinely last night, and they just didn't find him in the stretch.
Now Orlando beats the Lakers 89-75. Orlando getting a little fortunate with the schedule, catching the Lakers in the middle of this big East Coast road trip, but this was a season low in points for Los Angeles. And it was an interesting game for Orlando. First win in 9 tries against a team with a winning record. But what stood out to me was just how much better, plain and simple, how much better Dwight Howard is than every other big man in basketball.
In the world, yes.
He's so much better.
There's no
doubt.
Only
big man that I think can compare to Dwight in the impact he could have in a game would be Dirk.
Yeah.
And it's,
but again, it's different.
Yeah, completely different. But he's so much better than Gasol. He's so much better than Bynum. He affected so many of their shots. I think he had 3 blocks, but yep. Dwight Howard ended up with 31 points, 13 rebounds, 3 blocks, did have 6
great
turnovers.
Great percentages from both the field and from the line. So, yeah, it's just a matter of time now. Will he re-sign in Orlando? Will he be leaving? Now, obviously, we're not going to get to it now, but that is going to be the biggest free agent signing. I mean, obviously, LeBron was big last year, but I feel like when you're this big, and he has such an impact on the game. Wherever he goes, if he goes to a team with legitimate stars on it, they are the favorite to win the title, without a doubt.
With one legitimate star.
One legitimate. That's all he would need.
That's it. He doesn't need 2 others.
Nope.
He just needs 1 guy to help him with the scoring load. But the supporting cast for Orlando, really not great offensively. Brandon Bass came in, had some good rebounding numbers in 30 minutes. Offensively, they didn't do much, but defensively, the supporting cast did a nice job. But again, they only scored 89 points, so still, the same concerns that we had about them is that the rest of the team just doesn't seem to have it. It was still there in this game. The Lakers just had a terrible game. I don't really know what your impressions were of this one.
That Dwight Howard's amazing. Really,
yeah.
That's what you
got
to take away from it. When the other guys,
I didn't think it was that impressive of a performance for Orlando.
No,
I thought it was more of a Dwight thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Other games yesterday, well, one of them was Golden State beating the Thunder 100-94, and you watched that game and came away impressed with Golden State.
And it's one of those question mark games as to why don't we see this every single night from Golden State?
Defense.
That's the thing is that, you know, if you look at defense in the NBA, what is it mostly? It's effort. So why are they not put forth the effort?
It's night also in and size.
Night out? Certainly has a little to do with size. I mean, when David Lee's your center, your power forward, he's just a little bit undersized either place he goes to.
Yeah,
so
their front court doesn't defend.
Absolutely. And if you look at what they have, there's such talent there, and especially, you know, like you said, such offensive talent that if they can get things together on the defensive side of the ball, this could be a very good team, one of those teams that sneaks into the playoffs maybe next year. Doesn't seem like they're ready yet this year.
Let's look at the news, notes, and streaks. Ray Allen sets the NBA mark with the most made three-pointers in a career. He sat down with Ken Berger, and here's what he had to say.
Well, nothing compares to bringing the building to their feet. Nothing compares to it. You can be on the road and hit a buzzer beater and everybody you just feel the air leave the building, but nothing compares to being at home and feeling that feeling where everybody just went crazy because you could sense the tension. Everybody wanted it to happen so bad, and then when it happened, everybody just kind of just erupted. And that's a feeling I'll remember forever.
See him do this at home on national TV against the Lakers with Reggie Miller in attendance, and he did it in 309 less games than Reggie Miller.
Yeah. No, we know that he's just an incredible shooter. We talked about him last week and previous weeks, and that this guy most likely will be a Hall of Fame athlete. Not only is he a great player, great person off the court, as we've seen, someone that's just really never been in trouble. He's been in movies. He's certainly made a career, and someone that really the NBA is going to cherish for a long time, even when he's out of the game. Probably one of those guys you're going to see announcing after he gets out of the game, much like Reggie Miller. But, you know, the talent throughout, you know, this entire career, one of the most beautiful shots we've ever seen in NBA history. There's no doubt about it.
So what do you think about Jerry Sloan resigning? What was your reaction?
You know, in general, it was something that seemed like, you know, if you watched the beginning of the season and if you listened to him prior to him basically agreeing to resign last week and then, again, inevitably resigning. It's a huge surprise, a huge shock. There's no doubt about that, especially for someone like him to end it in the middle of the season. You would expect him to ride it out to the end of the year and then call it quits. But clearly there was something very big with Darren Williams or with general management that made him resign in the middle of the season. That's a bigger deal than him quitting at
and
the end
see
of the season.
Him tearful in the press conference was also very surprising because this guy is a stern guy. He's a strong
figure. He's a
rock,
no doubt about
it. To see him breaking down like that was interesting. Not something you really expect to see.
No,
and he doesn't end his career with a championship, but I hope people don't hold that against him. He's clearly one of the best coaches.
When you coach the majority of your career in the Jordan era and you don't coach Michael Jordan, chances are you're not going to get a ring, unfortunately.
Right, and it's not exactly a big market team either.
No, not at all.
So all bad things must come to an end, unfortunately.
Yes.
The Cavaliers win. They lose. They snap their 26-game losing streak. J.J. Hickson, big block to end regulation to force overtime.
No doubt about it. You know,
good for them.
You got to feel happy for them. That was the main thing about watching that game. It was very much a playoff atmosphere.
Yes.
You know, towards the end of that fourth quarter, it was intense. You know, you were expecting them to choke the game away. They played well. Mo Williams played well down the stretch. Getting him back healthy was huge for that team, obviously. And then they lose the next game, obviously, to Washington, who wins their first road game. So
all bad things.
A little bit of a roller coaster. Who knows if it's going to go straight down again, or if they're going to maybe level off and play decent basketball for the rest of the season. We'll see.
Yeah, and Nick Young for Washington as they beat the Cavs 115-110. Nick Young scored 31 points. That's his second 30-point game in his last six.
Yep.
John Wall had 14 assists. I think Washington has some good young players. They have to make sure they get the right type of role players, the right type of attitudes there. We've seen it with McGee.
And as we mentioned, the right type of head coach.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's the head coach. I think it might be the personalities on the team.
No, there's no doubt about that, but I think when you have those players, you're not going to get rid of those players.
They should trade Blatch or McGee.
We know, that should have happened earlier in the year, obviously, after the altercation that they had. But right now, young team, young talent, they need someone who's able to build that. Now, I don't know if Mike Brown is the perfect option. Obviously, we talked about whether it's LeBron or whether it was Mike Brown being a good coach. But Flip Saunders is not the guy to take a young team and allow them to grow.
I don't know. I'm not as down on Flip Saunders as you are.
You know, I mean, obviously, to this point, this is pretty much what we expected them to be. I don't think anyone expected Washington to be a playoff team.
To be 15-38? They'd be better. I thought Wall would be better.
A little bit better. Yeah, certainly Wall would be better. Maybe
he's
even
been
a little
hurt.
More healthy going up to
and
this
look,
part of the
who
season.
Came back last night for that win, finally? Josh Howard came back. First time since January 5th.
Yeah.
So maybe he makes a difference. Maybe they play a little bit better. Look, they're 14-13 at home. They're obviously capable of beating good teams. They beat the Celtics at home. They're terrible on the road. They've won once. They are 1-25. Philadelphia, on the other hand, this team is rising. They keep on rising. They're a game and a half behind the six-seeded New York Knicks. They're just impressive lately. They've won 6 of 8. Philadelphia with those wins, including wins over Denver, Atlanta, and San Antonio. 77-71 over San Antonio against that Spurs team that scores over 103 points per game.
Yeah. No, we'll talk about that when I get the power rankings. I pulled a nice stat from that and from the next night. So certainly the Spurs struggled that night. But
teaser.
As you mentioned, Philadelphia playing well. Andre Iguodala actually passing the ball more. His assist numbers have gone up. I think he's kind of taken that role of distributor, you know, a little bit more than he used to. And good numbers off the bench. You know, if you look at what this team has, Elton Brand is a solid performer in the front court, but they have depth. They have talent on the bench. You know, in these nights that they get guys off the bench to chip in 15 or 20 points, you'll see that they're going to get W's. And really, for this Philadelphia 76ers team, just to get to the playoffs, I think, is something that, for them, probably was a goal. And they're not going to get much higher than that, but they've achieved that goal.
I definitely think they're going to get into the playoffs, barring a significant injury. But the good thing about them is that if one guy goes down, a lot of those guys are very replaceable.
Yes.
They get big games from Lou Williams, Thaddeus Young,
Drew Holiday.
So, remember, they started 3-13. Since then, they're 23-15. So they're a force to be reckoned with.
Keep an eye on, that's for sure. Yeah.
Another thing to keep an eye on, Greg, is Kevin Love. He's got 40 consecutive double-doubles.
Yep.
Moses Malone, since 1980, Moses Malone has the longest double-double streak, 44 games. I like Kevin Love's chances.
I love Kevin Love's chances. Obviously, he's going to get the minutes. They're going to miss the shots. We know that. He's going to have the opportunity to get the rebound, and he's a hustler. We know what this guy is. He's a throwback to the days when rebounding was something that you took personally, and he's the best at it in the game right now, and I don't see any reason to think why he can't get past 44 games and move all the way towards the end of the season with that streak. No,
he's not going to go to the end of the season.
Why not?
Are you serious? He's
not
going to have like a 70-game.
I don't see why not.
Come on.
If you can tell me reason why he shouldn't.
You think
again,
he gets to 50?
This is what this guy does. I do think absolutely he gets to 50. No doubt about it.
I'm going to say it stops at 48.
Okay, so the over-under of 48, mark it down.
48, that's,
I'm
going to write it down.
Way over with that.
Pacers have won 3 straight games as we look at the streaks now. The Bucks have lost 3 straight. And they are almost out of contention in the Eastern Conference. Milwaukee at 20-33. They are 4.5 games out of the 8th spot. So really a horrible year for them.
Yeah.
Out west, though, the 8-9 race getting very interesting. And actually, you know what? It's really the 6-7-8-9 race because Portland's won 4 in a row. LaMarcus Aldridge is on fire. 42, 37, and 36 in his last three games.
Pretty decent.
Memphis has won three in a row, coming against the Thunder, Bucks, and Nuggets. They're a game back at Portland. And then there's Denver and Utah, who are 6-7 in the West, but they're both 31-24, but they're just not playing very well. So Denver and Utah need to be on the lookout for Memphis and even Phoenix.
No doubt about it. You know, and I've talked about Memphis all year. Right now, they've won 11 of their last 14. This is the earliest the Grizzlies have reached 30 wins since the 04-05 season, which is the second time they went to the playoffs and the last time as a franchise that they've gone to the playoffs. I still like them to get that eighth seed, especially because of Brandon Roy. I'm not sure the question mark there, but if LaMarcus Aldridge LaMarcus Aldridge keeps playing the way he's playing, they're still going to make the playoffs. But it is going to be at least something interesting to watch down the stretch to see who's going to get that eighth seed and inevitably go into San Antonio.
Well, look, if Carmelo gets traded, the Nuggets are not going to make the playoffs,
clearly,
most likely.
Clearly.
And Utah might not make the playoffs. Actually, I think Portland and Memphis might get in there at the expense of the Utah Jazz.
I could see that happen, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know what Tyrone Corbin's going to bring to the table as a head coach, but the Jazz just are not playing very well. All right, final question before we get into the power rankings and the NBA All-Star weekend thoughts. Better buzzer beater this past weekend? Was it Aaron Aflalo on Thursday as the Nuggets beat the Mavericks, or was it Steven Jackson against the Atlanta Hawks?
I actually like the Aflalo shot. He not only had more of a hand in his face, actually, he had to go around it, take the shot exactly as a buzzer, pretty much gone off.
He did not have more of a hand in his face. I would disagree with you there.
To start with the pump fake, he had to get away with it. Obviously, Steven Jackson was covered very well as well, but
yes.
Aflalo made a move to get the open look and just drilled it. So both of them were great shots.
You know why I think you like the Aflalo one better?
Why is that?
Well, first of all, they were trailing.
Yes.
Whereas Steven Jackson was
tie game. You're either going to overtime, less pressure.
Yeah, and Aflalo was at home.
Yes.
More fun.
And the great call by Kevin Harlan, if
of
you
course.
Heard it, calling him an assassin, basically just a great shot. And I don't know, actually the better shot was Wayne Rooney. I don't know if you saw the highlight of soccer.
That was incredible.
Make the bicycle kick, so I had to just throw in just a little bit of soccer there.
You know what the best buzzer beater was the end of the third quarter of the Magic game. Gilbert Arenas just throwing the ball in the air. Dwight Howard dunking it down.
Like
that
an
was incredible.
That was old, it was NC State back in the day with
Jimmy Valvano,
pretty fantastic dunk, for sure.
Power rankings time, and Greg Urbano gets to go first with the wrong power rankings. Actually, again, you know, I changed it up a little bit, but we still managed to have the same five teams, different order.
Somehow.
But your order is just awful, so go ahead.
If you say so. Number one, again, we talked about this briefly earlier, and I said I would hit on it more, that loss to the 76ers. The four starters to join Tim Duncan on the floor Friday night in Philadelphia shot a combined 9-39, 23% in the Spurs 77-71 loss. None of those other four players reached double figures. Only Duncan was a starter. A night later, the four starters to join Duncan shot 23-37.
That's
62%,
good.
And all four reached double figures in a 24-point win. This is a 24-point win in which they were outscored 29-17 in the fourth quarter. So they were up 36 after three.
Well, that's the difference between playing Philadelphia and Washington.
And I talked about this last week. When the Spurs are bad, they can lose to anyone
that's
and get blown
point.
Out.
Yeah.
When they're good, they're too good. They're going to destroy you. So that's the way this team is rolling. When they're on, they're going to take you out. When they have a bad night, you better take advantage of it and play good basketball and win that game. At number two, I have the Dallas Mavericks. Dallas has won 9 of their last 10 with the only loss coming
at
Denver.
This is a joke, right?
At Denver on that buzzer-beating jumper that we talked about. Since their six-game slide in January, now this is when Dirk was basically injured for the most part, Dallas has won 12 of 14, and now they have a very favorable stretch coming up to finish the month. Now, listen to this. To finish the month, they're playing the Kings at home. They go to Phoenix. They host Utah at home, and then they wrap up February on the road against Washington and Toronto.
Yeah, they could win all those
games.
All
of those games they should win. They should be 12-1 on the month. That's why I have them at number two.
Well, what does that matter? I'm asking who the best team in the league is.
Right now,
the Dallas Mavericks,
I believe, are the
second best team.
I do. Right now, they're pretty much healthy. Obviously, Caron Butler not there. Tyson Chandler's been great. Dirk's been great. The Chicago Bulls, why the Bulls? Derrick Rose went 2-0 in back-to-back showdowns.
You have the Chicago Bulls over the Heat and the Celtics.
I certainly do. You know why? Joakim Noah is nearing his return. Those other teams,
Boston is so banged up.
Boston is even getting more injured with Paul Pierce now with a question mark. They're not going to get more healthy or better after the All-Star break.
Yes,
what
they
does
are.
Boston normally do after the All-Star break?
Well,
they slow down.
No, but they're going to get
Shaq back. We
know
that Boston's
back.
Curve. Every year since the Big Four's joined, Boston has a great run to start the season. Then at the All-Star break, they kind of level off. That's why I would not be surprised to see the Heat take the number one seed and maybe even see the Bulls compete with that number two seed.
Seven-game series, Celtics or Bulls.
Again, if they're fully healthy, if Boston's fully
right
healthy
now,
and in the playoff, right now with no Joakim Noah,
yeah,
the Celtics.
So then what?
Joakim Noah is returning, and Chicago right now is playing better basketball. The Celtics, even though they beat the Heat, they had a couple bad losses last week, and really for the most part, they're getting fatigued, they're getting injured. Don't expect to see them have a great second half of the season.
Crazy.
At number five, the Miami Heat. Again, we talked about Wade's performance. Until he plays better against Boston, I cannot put them above Boston. Clearly, these are the two teams that we expect to battle for one and two, but do not be surprised at the Chicago Bulls.
No, I'm a big fan of the Bulls. So you go Spurs, Mavs, Bulls, Celtics, Heat.
Yep.
I have those same five, but I go Spurs, Celtics, number two, Heat, number three. They are number one in the league in opponent field goal percentage. I just think they need to get a little bit more cohesive.
Yep.
I don't know when it's going to come, but down the stretch, they got to share the ball better. So Spurs, Celtics, Heat, four, the Bulls, five, the Mavericks. Why the Bulls ahead of the Mavericks? They're 2-0 against the Mavericks. Thought that had to count for something. And they got that win on the road against New Orleans. We've talked about that. The Bulls are actually the second-best home team in basketball. Not very good on the road. They're just 13-12 on the road, but maybe that win against New Orleans on the road.
Well, they beat Utah just before that.
Yeah, I know, but Utah
struggling
not
this
that
year.
Great right now.
But for Derrick Rose to beat those two point guards and to play that much better than them, which he really did in those two games, huge step for Derrick
Rose. Yeah, we talked about that last week with what Nicholas Batum said about Derrick Rose, about how he couldn't defend. I watched a lot of that Chicago-New Orleans game to see the matchup between Chris Paul and Derrick Rose, and Rose did a pretty good job.
Yep.
And you can't just look at the numbers, because one of the problems when you just look at the box scores, there are so many pick and rolls in basketball involving the point guard that you don't really get that point guard on point guard matchup.
You never get that matchup.
Sometimes.
It's all about team defense and how you defend these great point guards as a team. Because if you're just trying to defend them with one guy and no one else is looking or trying to, you know, get into that position when he penetrates, then of course you're going to get blown out.
I mean, come on, those guys are too good to guard one.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Absolutely. All right, so we have the same five teams, different order. Which is the same story every week.
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is, you know, if you look at the depth at in the National Basketball Association, there's so much talent up top. You know, it's easy to pick the worst of the worst, but really to pick the best of the best, there are a lot of teams right now that are very close and jumbled up. You know, I think when the Miami Heat, you know, created the big three, we thought that they would be head and shoulders above everyone else. But that's just not how it is. There's too much talent in this NBA right now, in this league, for one team to really dominate everyone, which
is great.
I think
what's so interesting is that neither of us have the Lakers.
Yeah.
Despite the win at Boston.
Yeah, tough. I think they're clearly the number six team on both of our rankings.
Yeah, or seven behind the Magic.
Yep.
I could see people putting the Magic there, too.
Yep.
So we look at All-Star Weekend now, and we're going to give our predictions for all of the festivities around All-Star Weekend, which I'm pretty excited for. You know, it gets a little tired. I don't really love the slam dunk contest anymore.
With Blake Griffin, I love it. So,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's gotten a little worn down in recent years, but to, you know, inject this energy with the guy that everyone cannot wait to see is going to be fun.
And it's in L.A.
Sure,
so that's
sure
going to be great for Griffin.
Biggest stage you can get.
So the sophomore rookie challenge. Now, usually the sophomores win this game. Last year, the rookies actually won it.
Yep.
This year is going to be a lot more interesting than I thought because the sophomore roster is pretty lousy.
Yeah.
DeJuan Blair, DeMar DeRozan, Stephen Curry, Tyreek Evans, Taj Gibson, Drew Holiday, Serge Ibaka, Brandon Jennings, Wesley Matthews.
But those are guys who contribute.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah.
But they're not great. I think the sophomores win, but I thought they were going to crush them until I saw the roster. And I was like, it's not that great.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah, it's exactly. But
yeah.
I want to see Ty Lawson on there.
Yeah.
I want to see James Harden on there.
You're right.
Maybe. But what about, you know, Ricky Rubio? Can we get Ricky Rubio to play?
Yeah, let's fly him in. Why not? Why not?
He's averaging like 4 points a game, by the way, over in Europe. I like the sophomores. What do you think?
I always pick the sophomores in the sophomore rookie game.
I'm telling you, it could be an upset, though.
When the rookie of the year is not going to be playing in this game because he'll be on the all-star team. So Blake Griffin won't be in the game. Therefore, they are not going to win.
That's a very good point.
Thank you.
Okay, three-point contest. Your contestants are Ray Allen, the defending champ, Paul Pierce, Kevin Durant, Daniel Gibson, James Jones, and Darrell Wright. What do you think?
I wouldn't be surprised if Paul Pierce pulls out with a foot injury. Either way, I wasn't going to pick him. I think James Jones for the Miami Heat is the best guy to win this. He's a spot-up shooter, a guy that's used to waiting on the ball, catching it, and shooting it. These other guys, a lot of times, will be dribbling before they shoot or really creating their own shot. I think the fact that he sits there and continually allows himself to just receive that shot, that's a consistent stroke for someone like him. So I'm going to go with James Jones.
And where do you go to school?
I know he's
University
from down
of
here.
Miami.
I know
buddy.
He's from down here. I don't want to
actually
from
the
admit
U.
that the U had a decent NBA player, but
he's better than Von Wafer.
Von Wafer had a nice game last night,
so,
or yesterday. So good contributor for the most part.
I like Darrell Wright. I'm going to take Darrell Wright in this one. And really, it's like throwing darts at a dartboard. I have no idea who's going to win. Nope. You know. I hope Ray Allen wins.
I was going to say, I don't think U.S. would be shocked if Ray Allen wins, especially this year. He's on such fire that it wouldn't surprise me.
But a lot of pressure on him.
Certainly.
So watch out for Darrell Wright. Slam dunk contest. We're both going to take Blake Griffin. But it's DeMar DeRozan, Blake Griffin, Serge Ibaka, and JaVale McGee.
JaVale McGee is going to be exciting to watch.
Yeah, I
picked him at the beginning of the year to be my most improved player, mainly because his athleticism is really just off the charts. If you watch him starting from the preseason and into the regular season, the way he catches alley-oops and throws it down, to be that tall and be able to jump that high, it's going to be entertaining for the fans.
I got a great idea for the slam dunk contest, which needs something new,
needs
right?
Needs revamping.
Let's have these guys go one-on-one, and one person tries to dunk, and one person tries to block the shot.
See, then you're going to get injuries. Unfortunately, I would agree with that.
Put them in pads and a helmet.
Yes. Yeah, or slam ball. Remember slam ball where they had the actual trampolines?
Sure. Because it was J.J. Hickson who actually stuffed Blake Griffin on a dunk attempt in that big Cavaliers win,
absolutely,
first time in 27 games.
Nice block.
I think JaVale McGee would have a nice chance of really rejecting
winning
Blake
that.
Griffin.
Yeah, as far as block shots, yes, he gets up there. There's no doubt about that.
And the All-Star game. Originally, I had the East, but I think Amari Stoudemire won't play. So I'm going to go with the West.
So because Amari Stoudemire,
because I think the depth. I think the depth is so much better for the West.
Okay.
And I think if you take even one great player off of that East roster, I'm going to flip it and go with the West by 13, 138, 125.
These Eastern Conference guys play together all the time. There's four guys from the Celtics. You've got two or three from the Hawks.
Are the Celtics players going to share with the Heat players?
Three from the Heat. So, I mean, it's almost like their own team is out there to play, especially if you were to put the big four out there with, say, one other guy. It's going to be a pretty good run for the East. So I'm actually going to go with the East about 141, 130. My MVP is going to be LeBron James.
141, 130, you said?
Yeah.
Oh, I have to pick an MVP?
Hey, why not?
Let's go with Kobe Bryant.
LA, I would not be surprised. Yeah. He's done it many times before.
It's kind of a weak pick, isn't it?
It is. See, I think LeBron will shine that much more because it's Kobe's house, but we'll see.
Yeah, and I guess the Lakers, anytime they've had a good team come into their building in a national TV.
But it's also Blake Griffin's house.
It is.
So maybe he's the MVP.
No, it's going to be Kobe.
Yeah.
West win.
He's going to get the most shots.
Kobe for president.
No doubt about it.
Thanks, everybody. That's it for today's show. Back next Tuesday because Monday is President's Day.
That's right. Holiday.
Yeah, so
get the day off.
Everybody enjoy your presidents.
That's right.
Today, enjoy your Valentines, all that stuff. And thanks for listening to our podcast. For Greg Urbano and our producer, Matt Brodsky, and our blogger, Ben Golliver, I'm Adam Azer. We'll talk to you next week.